It's not about pastor. It's not about the elders. It's not about the deacons. It's not about the saints. It's all about
Jesus.
Jesus. And if you're walking with him, he is your Lord and Savior. Amen? Hallelujah. Giving all honor to God this afternoon, giving honor to our pastor, giving honor to the elders, the ministers, the deacons, giving honor to my wife, giving honor to the saints of God, visitors and friends, I say praise the Lord. So much has been said. Amen. Inspiring testimonies. Inspiring testimonies. Inspiring testimonies. Testimonies of encouragement. Amen. Amen. And I like what Minister Simon said, because we don't serve a dead God. Now, he's delivered us from a spiritual dead life, but we don't serve a dead God. Amen. We're serving a live God. St. John 10 and 10. I have come that you might have life. You don't start living until you surrender your life to Jesus. Physically, you may be alive walking around, but spiritually, we're all born into this world in trespasses and in sins. Cussing and fussing in the life system Monique talked about, that doesn't make you a sinner. We're born in sin. And because we're born in sin with a rebellious nature against God, we'll automatically do those things. You don't have to teach a baby to do wrong. Isn't that amazing? Even in a state of innocence like that, we get a glimpse of what Adam and Eve were in a state of innocence. But yet, in that little baby, we can still see that sinful, rebellious nature against God. You know, think about it. Train up a child in a way that they should go, and in the end thereof, they will not depart. You have to be trained to do that which is right. It's automatically to do wrong in us. Automatically we'll do wrong. It's innate. It's in us. It's in our nature. We inherited that from who? You Bible scholars. Who do we inherit from? We inherited from the first Adam. Did you know the Bible speaks about two Adams? It's Bible scholars, preachers, ministers. The Bible speaks about two Adams. We inherited this rebellious, sinful nature from our forefather Adam when he chose to willfully disobey God. Willfully. Wasn't deceived. He wasn't tricked. He wasn't fooled. He willfully chose to surrender his will to the works of the flesh or what he wanted to do. This month is a very special month for me. This month, my wife and I celebrate our sixth anniversary, wedding anniversary. Amen. But more importantly, this month is my spiritual birthday. I love my wife. Hallelujah. But I love Jesus more. I love my wife, but I must put Jesus first. Amen. 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 Come on, amen.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. But if they don't want to go, guess what? You've got to have a made up mind that you're going. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, talk to me. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, if nobody else wants to go, we have to have a made up mind that we're going.
Amen.
We're living in the last and evil days.
Amen.
We're coming down the spiritual stretch of this race that we're running. We're in a spiritual race. And many have started out in this race, and they have not finished. Many have started out in this race, and they gave up. I have a picture at my home that Ella Tinsley drew, and it's a bishop. His name is Bishop Fallen in Doom, a trophy of hell. They have these, he drew these two demons in the back of this trophy, and they were talking, and they were discussing one to another, and the trophy shows the bishop with his hands up, and he's crying, and he's weeping. And the one demon's talking to the other one, and he said, it took me a long time to get him. And then the other demon said, yeah, he put up a fight. He said, and the other one said to the other one, he used to pray like that. He had his hands up, and he was weeping and crying. But the other demon said, yeah, but he quit. Jesus didn't quit on us, did he? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I love the message we heard on Friday. The boldness that we can have to come to God in the assurance. Amen? We can come to him boldly, but come to him humbly. We need God. And then last Sunday's message, I got it in my pocket. We don't have to be perfect to have God's favor. Amen? Because salvation is not about you and I being perfect.
Amen.
Come on, talk to me. Salvation is not about being perfect. Salvation is about being forgiven. Because even in our unperfectness and our striving to be faithful to God, John said, if any man sin or woman, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. So if you and I fall, and we will, we don't have to stay down, amen? By the grace of God, get back up and get in this race. Get back up and get in this race. Like I told you, this is a very special month for me. My message is basically my testimony. I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 1. This month is special for me because I got saved back in 1973. It's not just a pretty rhyme, it's the truth. 1973 is when Jesus got a hold of me. 1973 is when I turned myself in. 1973 is when I surrendered to Jesus. Because a life outside of Christ, those who are in a spiritual degenerated state, those that are unsaved, that are walking in spiritual darkness, whether you like it or not, believe it or not, or accept it or not, you are a spiritual fugitive. I didn't say that. The Bible says that. Spiritually, you're a criminal. A life outside of Christ, you are a spiritual criminal. A life outside of Christ, a life not surrendered to Christ, you are a spiritual fugitive. You are on the run.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say it, the word of God says it. Every last one of us who are now walking with Jesus, at one time in our lives, we were spiritual fugitives. We were enemies of God. The Bible says this. We come in this world in trouble with God. Why do you think the world is in the condition it's in now? You got folks out there that hate the word of God, that hate God. Why do they hate the word of God? Why do they? Because of the sinful, rebellious nature we inherited from Adam. But thank God for the second Adam. The first Adam was disobedient. The second Adam was obedient. The first Adam did not want to stay in the garden and was defeated. The second Adam got victory in the garden and was victorious. Hallelujah. You and I, we don't really comprehend what we have a hold of. You and I, we don't really comprehend what we are part of this afternoon. You and I in Christ, we are spiritual royalty. We're going to be be kings and priests and reign with him forever. Talking about throwing in the towel? Talking about giving up? No! I remember, what was it, last Sunday, Elder Kent was standing up here pleading with several people about how God had put on his heart, you're going to make a move that is going to mess you up and turn your back on God. The worst thing you and I can do is turn. Where we're going to go? Where we're going to go? The only thing you're good for is serving the Lord. So we might as well give it our all, amen? Because he gave his all. He didn't have to die and go to Calvary. You need to read about it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They beat him. They spit. Now, we can't stand it if somebody sneezes on us. They deliberately spit in our Savior's face. They punched him in the face. They whipped and they beat him unmercifully. When he was whipped, it is called a cat of nine tails. It was a leather strip, and it had nine strips. And weaving in these strips were chips of steel, chips of glass. And when the Roman soldier came down on a person's back, the chips of glass and steel would grab a hold of their flesh. And when he came back with it, it would rip and tear the flesh off of a person. And they beat him unmercifully. Isaiah, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, said his visage was marred more than any man. He looked like raw hamburger when he hung on the cross. Those little pictures of him bleeding, and that's not how he looked. He was indescribable. They beat him unmercifully. Then they put a crown of thorns on his head. I wasn't planning on going like this, but I'm going to be led by the Spirit. And then they mocked him and they bowed their knee to him. And they were sending up false praises. But I want you to understand, there's going to come a day. There's going to come a day. Do you hear me? There's going to come a day when they will bow their knee. There's going to come a day when Pilate, who Jesus stood in his judgment hall, the roles will be reversed. And Jesus will be the king. Jesus will be the judge, and Pilate will answer to him. Amen? With this in mind, can we stand? Isaiah chapter number 1. I'm not going to keep you long. Verse number 18. Can we read it together if we have it? Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Wait a minute, hold it right there. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. I remember Elder Camp was saying, and it's so true, from Genesis, the 3rd chapter, all the way through Revelations, God is calling his creation back to him. Calling. Constantly calling. Though your sins be as what? They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. With that in mind, let us turn to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Verse number 28. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, for this precious message, Lord, of salvation. We thank you for the apostolic way this afternoon. We thank you for Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance. Lord God, we thank you for the man and woman of God you have placed over us. Now, Lord God, we pray that after the word of God comes forth, somebody cry and say, what must I do to be saved? Now, Lord, take full control. We won't fail to give thy name the honor, the praise, and the glory. Let us all say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Turn with me, if you would, to St. John's Gospel, chapter number 6. We'll go there. Isaiah, the first chapter, we read how God says, come now, let us reason together. God is, ever since the fall of mankind, God has been calling and pleading with his creation to come back to him. St. John's Gospel, chapter number 6, verse 44. Jesus speaking. No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In verse number 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. A lot of people, and I want to just take for a little thought this afternoon, I surrender all to Jesus. That's the thought. Not only is that the thought for this afternoon, that's the thought. That's the thought for these last and evil days. That's the thought, amen? I surrender all to who? Come on, say it with me. I surrender all to who? To Jesus. Think about it. That's all he requires. That's all he wants. He wants you and I to do what?
Surrender.
That's a tough word. You know that? It's a tough word. As long as you and I are living in this life, we're going to have to obey somebody. Are you in agreement with that? Huh? You can't go out there and take that automobile and drive it, even though some folks do. They have a manual. You study to take a test, right? Then once you pass your test, and my father told me years ago, he said, once you get your license to drive, he said, you're going to see a whole lot of stuff that's not written in that manual. He was talking about how crazy and foolish others drive, running red lights and running stop signs, just doing what they want to do, amen?
Amen.
As long as we're breathing breath in this body, we're going to have to obey somebody in this life. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I surrender all to Jesus. I can go back as far as 5 and 6 years of age, how God was calling me. 5 and 6 years of age, I can go back that far. I didn't recognize his voice then. Like young Samuel, he heard the voice of God calling him, jumped up and went running to Eli the priest. And Samuel didn't know God. He was a young boy. Eli told him, I didn't call you. Go on back to bed. Lay down. God called him again. We serve a patient God, amen? We serve a long-suffering God. Samuel jumped up and went running to the old man, Eli. Eli said, no, I didn't call you. And by this time, Eli must have perceived God was calling Samuel. God called Samuel again, and Eli told him, he said, the next time you hear the voice of your name, say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I remember when I was 5 and 6 years of age, and thank God I had a mother that was walking with the Lord. Thank God I had a mother that believed in God. Her mother was very strong in the faith. And my mother, there were 6 of us, my mother made us go to church. Going to church was the norm. That's all we knew. We went to church. And as a young boy, I didn't understand a lot of things, but I recognized that when a person got baptized, they're supposed to act different. They were supposed to be better or act good. I had heard about the Holy Ghost, but as a young boy, I couldn't comprehend all that. But God was drawing me. And the scripture says that no man can come or woman can come except the Spirit draws them. Amen? And as a young boy, there were certain things that I was sensitive concerning when it came to religious things, like movies. God used a lot of religious movies to start dealing with me. Spiritual songs. And then I got a little older and then listening to different preaching and then listening to different people talking. And even when I started going to school and whenever anybody talked about God, and especially if it was positive, I would act like I wasn't listening, but my ears would be tuned in all of a sudden. And I would be very sensitive when the Bible was mentioned. My mother instilled godly principles in us from the Word of God, and she told us that the Bible was no ordinary book. It is the Word of God, and you are to have a reverence for the Word of God. You ought to have a respect for the Word of God. She said it's no ordinary book. And as a young boy, I didn't understand it, but I believed it. Amen? That's all that counts. That was faith. I didn't understand what she was saying, but I believed what she was saying. She said the Word of God is no ordinary book. And it's not an ordinary book. I've had people withstand me to my face. Man wrote that book. How can you believe that? Well, man wrote everything else, didn't he? But the Bible says holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is of no private interpretation. The Word of God interprets itself. Amen. And this is no ordinary book. I have heard of instances. My mother, we used to live on First Street in Albany, and they had a podium like this in the attic, and a family Bible was in it, and half of the attic had caught on fire, and this podium was all burnt. It was singed. It was burnt. It was black. But when they opened it up, the family Bible was in there, and it was burnt all around the edges. You can still read it. Word of God is real. I had a newspaper clipping, and I don't know what I did with it. I cut this clipping out of the newspaper accident. Her car was engulfed with fire. When they put the fire out, there was a Bible on the dashboard, and it wasn't burnt. You could still read it. That's God. The Word of God is real. Now watch this. I have such a, to God be the glory, I have such a reverence and a respect for the Word of God, I cannot throw a Bible away. I can't even throw one page away if it gets ripped out or torn out or falls out of the Bible. I have old Bibles at home. My wife will tell you, I got not band-aids, I got rubber bands holding them together. All kind of Bibles. I could open a Bible bookstore at our house. But I found Bibles. I've been given Bibles. I will not throw a word of, this is precious, amen? One page can save a life. One page of the Word of God can save a soul. People have to hide the Word of God and can't read it and walk down the street with it publicly like you and I can in some parts of the world. And yet we neglect. We don't know how blessed we are. We don't know how blessed we are. I remember seeing the movie of the 10th Commandments for the first time living in Brooklyn. My father was in the Navy. We lived across the street from the Brooklyn Navy Yard. My father took my oldest brother, who has passed away, and my oldest sister and myself to see the 10th Commandments, the one Charleston Heston played in. You know that one? Nobody can play Moses like Charleston Heston. Hugh Brenner, he was Pharaoh, and Edward G. Robinson was in it. And when I was watching the movie, I must have been 12 or 11, when I was watching the movie, It was like God was talking to me. I'm sitting there trying to be all macho, but I wanted to climb and hide under the seat somewhere because the Spirit of God was dealing with me. And I was terrified. So when I went home that night and went to bed, I told you about this dream I had. You know how you can see yourself in a dream? And I was looking into the dream, and it was like this giant of a person had a long white robe on. And I was running. I was running on this cloudy road, and I had a black suit on, a white shirt, and a black tie. And I'm running, and I'm running, and it's like I'm sweating, and I'm trying to get away from something or someone. And this person who is like in the dream, I'm looking over the person's shoulder, and they're a giant of a person. And they were stretching forth their hand to grab me. And I was just out of their reach. And then I'm running in the same dream. I'm running alongside this cliff. And there's not that much space. And there's a long drop down there. And I'm running frantically. And all of a sudden, this giant face of Jesus comes up and looks down at me with compassion. God was dealing with me. He was calling me. And I hid that thing in my heart for years. I didn't tell anybody about it. And then when we moved back up here and we lived in the projects on Green Street, I was waiting for my mother to come pick me up. And I'm standing next to this telephone pole. And I told you about this before. And all of a sudden, this white gentleman approaches me, a little short white guy. He had on a black suit and a white collar. He come out of nowhere, and he comes up to me, and he cuts to the chase. He doesn't even introduce himself. He says, "Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Have you surrendered your life?" And my heart's going like boom, 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 boom. And I never looked straight at him. I looked down. He came up on my right side, and I'm looking at him at the corner of my eye. And he, "Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus?" All of a sudden, my mother pulls around the corner. I jump in the back seat of the car, and she pulls off. She never asked me, "Who was you talking to?" And we were only pulled off for a few seconds. And as I turned to see where this man went, he wasn't there. He had disappeared. Was that an angelic visitation? You can't tell me that God's not real.
Amen.
God is real. Situations and incidences in my life, and coming down the stretch of how God has called me, Elder Winley and Sister Grimes, God used those two to win me to Christ. And Deacon Thomas, Winley had talked to me and encouraged me about coming to church, because I knew Winley when he was unsaved. And we were planning on partying and everything, and we worked at Albany Hospital across the river, and then I didn't see him for a little while. And when I did see him again, I could look at him and see there was a difference about him. Nobody said anything. And when he came up to me, he said, "Maggie, I got saved." And me still being in spiritual darkness, I backed up. I didn't want to have anything to do with him. I started making fun of him, laughing at him. But then he talked me into coming to church one night. Heard Ella Jackson preaching. And then I was supposed to get baptized that night, and I came back the second night. And I was sitting on the front pew, and he was preaching. And after he preached, he came around the podium, and he had some baptismal clothes in his lap. And he said, "Brother Mackey, I believe it's your time." And when he said that, it was like, it wasn't him talking. It was like God speaking through him. And you know how the old saying is, you can see your past flash before your face? You know why that's true? Because God is not subject to time. The Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. In a moment's time, because it happened to me before, but in a moment's time, sitting there on the front pew, I saw everything in the past that had happened to me, how God had, that was me in that situation. When you almost got hit, that was, when you When you went to Vietnam and came back alive and really did, that was me. When I went to Vietnam, let me share this with you, because I'm telling you, God drew me. And just like others, he has drawn them. And just like you, you can probably tell about experiences in your past how God has called you. When I was going to Vietnam, we had left Okinawa. My mother had gave us a little pocket Bible. I'm on a plane with all these Marines and we're flying thousands of miles in the air. I'm sitting there and nobody's even talking to me. Nobody's even looking at me. And the thought came to my mind, why don't you pull out that little pocket Bible and read it? Watch this. Everybody's ignoring me. Watch this. I pull out this little pocket Bible and it's like I pull out a giant light. I heard four things, four remarks. What's that neck he got? Put that book away. What are you, a preacher now? It's too late for that. Four remarks. What's that neck he got? Put that book away. What are you, a preacher now? It's too late for that. I was so intimidated that I put the little pocket Bible back in my pocket. And the thought came to my mind, here we're on our way to Vietnam. If there's anybody we need, don't we need God?
Amen.
Why did that happen? Why were those four things said? Those demons, after I got saved, God showed me that those were demons speaking. They could see what God was calling me to. They know. And they know the power of the word of God. If I had to pull out a Hustler or a Playboy magazine, they would have been fighting to take the book away from me. Oh yes. But I pulled out the word of God, the inexhaustible, anointed, holy, sanctified, sacred word of God. And when I pulled that word out, not knowing what was going on in the spirit realm, amen, not understanding what was happening in the spirit realm, when I pulled that word out, I pulled the light out. And the light was blinding the demons. Oh, they what's that one? Put that book. Oh, man. This thing is real. It's real. It's real. The God we serve is real. I surrender my all. I remember running and ripping and doing what I wanted to do. I remember running from God. I knew better. I knew I needed God. I knew it. And the night I surrendered to him, 1973, on a Monday night in March, the night I surrendered to him, it was like Ananias when he went to lay hands on Saul of Tarsus after the Damascus Road experience that Saul had. The Bible said when he laid hands on Saul of Tarsus, scales fell from his eyes. It was like spiritual scales falling from my eyes. For the first time, I could see. The songwriter says, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the wretch like I was once lost, but what? I wasn't looking for Jesus. He found me. You weren't looking for him. He found you. I was once what? But now I. And I came to the conclusion. I came to the realization. I do need Jesus. 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 All this time I've been running from him. All this time I've been running and ripping. All this time I've been living for Satan. But I came to the realization, I do need Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I didn't understand everything. I couldn't comprehend everything, but all I know is that I surrendered my all that night. And let me tell you, you know about Pilgrim's Book of Pilgrim Progress, that book? When I went down in that water, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, I stepped in the water, and the water was cold. It chilled my body, but not my soul. Hallelujah. I came up out of that water, I felt clean. Bleach could not do it. Hallelujah. Soap could not do it. Laundry detergent could not do it. But it was the blood of Jesus. Woo! I felt a heavy load come off of me. I tell you, when I walked out of that church tonight, bring it on, death. Because I know that if I had left that church that night and had rejected salvation, hear me, if I had left that church that night and had refused what Jesus had to offer me, if I had left that church that night and rejected salvation, if I had died, I knew I would have been lost. I knew I would have been lost. Because I knew God was stretching out his hand to me. And in that dream, he was stretching forth his hand. But the time was not right. And only God knows. Amen?
Amen.
We have to come to him when he's calling us. Some folks will say, well, I'm not ready yet. I even said that. I used that broken down excuse. I'm not ready. Listen, you got to come to Jesus when he's calling you. And in these last and evil days, he's calling a lot of people. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want you to understand, hallelujah. Koshadabasanda. Oh, it was like somebody had turned a bright light on and I saw things for the first time like never before.
Hallelujah.
I said, my God. I said, all this time I've been running from Jesus. And he's the one I need. Hallelujah. He is the best thing. The best thing. The best thing that has ever happened to me. And he's the best thing that has ever happened to you. We're on our way to glory. We're going to spend all eternity with him. We're going to shine like the stars in heaven. We're going to get a body that's glorified. We're going to get a body that feels no pain. We're going to get a body where no temptation comes on us anymore. The Bible said he's going to wipe away our tears. Everything's going to be new. I surrender all to Jesus. I'd like for you to all stand. Altar team and the ministers and the elders, come forth, please. I surrender all. It's time to surrender your all. It's time for you and I to pray for those who are unsaved, unsaved family members, unsaved co-workers, unsaved students in our school. It's time for you and I to lift him up wherever we go. We're living in the last and evil days, and things are going to get more bizarre, and they're going to get more strange, and they're perilous. But for the child of God, we are living in exciting times. Because the Bible says that our redemption draweth nigh. You and I, we got to be looking forward to getting up out of here, amen? I surrender my all to Jesus. Praise the Lord.